whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. This morning, it's a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, Guy Majorano. How close did I come, Guy?
I think you hit it on the head.
Hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Guy is the owner of the Elms in Westerly. The Elms is a long-standing institution. How many years now?
34
years, and you started it all, right?
I did, yeah.
The Elms is a, do you classify yourselves as an assisted living, retirement community?
Well, the name is retirement community, but we do independent living, assisted living, and there's two buildings on campus for memory care.
Okay, so it's been around for all those years, and how did you start this little chapter of your life?
It's an interesting story. I was 27 years old, looking for real estate. Everybody in my family who ever made money in life had some real estate investment properties, and I was just trying to gather at the time. I had no money. I had one child.
Kind of like Monopoly, just get as many properties as you could.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was a simple process, and so I took a walk up Elm Street, and I was looking. I saw this house that was in need, in terrible condition. The shutters were falling off. The hedges were way overgrown. Needed paint, like for years. And I just knocked on the door. It wasn't even for sale. So I knocked on the door, and a nice lady answered the door, Mrs. Palladino, who was the owner at the time. And she says, "Can I help you?" I says, "Well, do you think you might want to sell this place?" And she says, "Do you know what this is?" And I'm like, "No, what is it?" So she said, "Well, this was a sheltered care facility." I'm like, "What's that?"
Yeah.
So we talked a little while. I says, "You want to show me around?" And she did. I met her husband, David, who was the chef, head cook. They lived in the property. Their daughter lived on a third floor with a couple of children. And they had four residents. And they ran it as a sheltered care facility, which is an archaic liking to assisted living.
Right.
They just did it old school. They would think about what they wanted in the morning to eat for lunch, and they go out and buy it. And I'm like, and it was kind of cool about, at that time, both my grandmothers were alive, my grandfather was alive, and, a very tight Italian family. So I knew what people want in life, and I'm looking at the way they were doing it, and I think they were getting tired at it, and I'm like, I could do a much better job than this. And I said, "Why don't you put a price to it?" So she did. And they did. And I ended up having dinner with David and Millie that night. And I'll never forget, he made like hot dogs and peppers and potatoes in the oven. The guy was great. I really liked them an awful lot. And that's how it happened. I financed it like through the roof. And you know, you throw enough plaster against the wall, some things will stick. So,
sure.
So God hates a coward.
Right, there you go. So this.
So that was. I started with three residents.
Right.
In 19.
Retaining the ones that were there, or.
I can't remember that. It's 34 years now. So, but three residents, and I had when the Palladinos moved out, I moved somebody in as a manager, live-in manager, and. That's
so that was
started.
Not you. You didn't decide to do this.
It was not me. I showed her what I wanted. It was a simple process. It's really housekeeping. It's it wasn't to the level we are now. It wasn't nursing at all.
Right.
But it was good food all the time. It was care all the time. And then we grew. And that was 1985. In 1990... I went through our first expansion, which was the big one. Because when the Palladinos move out, I was able to bring it from three or four residents to 12 residents.
Oh.
Of course, couldn't make any money at 12 residents, so I had to keep going. And convince the town, convince the banks, everybody to let me expand from 12 to 56. And we did that.
That was in 1990.
That was in 1990, and I think I filled it in 4 or 5 months. So there was a demand.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, there was no other competition. There wasn't anybody in Narragansett. There wasn't anybody in Mystic. There was no competition. So I had a good buddy in Johnston area. He was doing it. So that's what happened. That's how I went from 12 to 56. And I basically now in 34 years have expanded, 13 times?
13 times.
13 times.
That's every couple years you're doing.
Well, it wasn't every couple of years, but it was every five or so. And as I needed more units, I would go to the neighbors and say, like, I remember one time I went to my next door neighbor, Mick, and I'm like, Mick, I need your house. This is almost 20 years ago, 15 years ago. I had the carriage house, which has 16 units at the time for memory care. We built that. And went to my next door neighbor, Mick, and said, Mick, I need your house. He says, what do you mean? I said, I need your house. I need more units. He goes, no, it's not for sale. So, of course, I said, please put a price to it. So, of course, I paid a premium, knocked it down, and added more to the carriage house.
Oh, so you just knocked it down. You didn't actually want his house. You wanted his land.
No, we needed the space just make it better, what we already done. And so that was, I can't even remember, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then went to the town right across from my driveway, abutting my property, 9 years ago. Went to the town, and said they, because it was the old ambulance building on Chestnut Street, and it was empty, and they weren't using it. They built across the street. I called the town manager. I says, I have a plan. I need your building. I'd like to buy it, and I'd like to do this quickly. So the building was assessed for $165,000, and I said, I want to give you $400,000.
Oh.
I needed to give him an offer that he couldn't refuse, and they didn't have to think about it long.
Wait a minute. So it's assessed at $165,000, and you wanted it and offered
$400,000? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's I got an offer you can't refuse over
here. It was one of those things, but it really was just when you're dealing with towns or when you're dealing with institutions that nobody really feels the money. Like if I buy something from you and it's $100, you get the $100 and you put it in your pocket.
Right.
You walk away, you're happy, you smile. When you're dealing with towns, and nobody touches the money. It's not their money.
Right. I suppose that's
so true. You got to get them off the you got to get the ball rolling somehow.
Yeah. If you
and there was a demand. I needed more units. So we basically built a beautiful just like the carriage house, I built a Chestnut Cottage. And what we learned from the carriage house, we modified in doing Chestnut Cottage. So the street appeal is great, the interior is awesome. It's a beautiful community, and that was for 30 residents.
Mm-hmm.
30 more. So currently, we have 55 units for memory care.
Wow.
Right.
So all of that growth over the years, and some would say, listening to that story that you've told for the last couple of minutes, that was extremely aggressive, being able to go to a neighbor's house and say, I need your property or the town, and offer them three or four times what it was worth. That takes some courage.
God hates coward. Yeah. You know, I've always gone that way. I mean, the worst that could happen is they say no.
That's true. Well, but it is a tribute to the fact that you have the foresight and the be able to see that this is going to work, and the confidence in yourself and any others that are working with you.
I've always had a great team. Like currently, we have 120 residents. Roughly, I have 112 to 15 employees.
Wow.
So it's like the Hilton with healthcare.
Hmm.
In a very boutique style and way.
Yeah.
Like our food is second to none. It's ridiculously good.
Now the people, as you said, obviously it can't be like it was originally when you first saw the house and they decided to go out, what do you want to buy for lunch?
But no, 3 years ago we did another expansion. We added a pub that came out absolutely beautiful.
The pub.
Yeah, well, in our dining room, we have this wall in the dining room that divides the little lounge area and then the dining room. And 4 o'clock at the Elms is wine o'clock. Okay. It's a very popular time of day. People are gathering in that little lounge area, and it just wasn't enough space. So we wanted to increase the size. We wanted to make a pub. And below the pub, we needed a new exercise room, but quite large, and that we do a lot of things in there. So there's yoga, there's religious services, there's everything.
Wow. So the residents have the opportunity for almost anything they want right there.
Exactly. We built a new beauty salon, at the same time. So it really, it served a lot of purposes, and it was expensive like everything is, but the good news is it wasn't like spending $500,000 on a roof.
Right. It was something
you could see. Something that was right in your face. I mean, it was a big bang, and everybody loves it. Love it to this day. It's great.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than putting in a ton of money on something that nobody notices.
Exactly. Like when you have to replace an air conditioner, nobody cares.
Yeah, right. It's not not quite the same thing.
No, it's not.
So all those residents, and you say, would you call them apartments, or are they... how does that work? Is it as a monthly rental?
Well, let's talk about the Elms building first.
Sure.
Okay. So it is. We are month to month on campus. The whole campus is month to month. So it's not a big commitment.
All right.
Which has been good for people. Like when my grandmothers were coming, were getting older. Both of them lived at the Elms. I was lucky enough to have them both there. But I had them in my mind when I decided how I'm going to run the place. Is there an endowment or is there a big entry fee? Mm-hmm. And I kept it simple. And so all these years, I really just want people to try it. Come and try it. We actually have a model. We have a model unit, two model units for a trial stay program that we've been doing for lots and lots of years, which basically is somebody can come and try the Elms. They bring a suitcase.
Wow.
That's it.
What a wonderful idea.
They bring the suitcase. They rent it for a month.
Yeah.
Within that month, They try to emphasize, like I always say, just dip your toe in the water, see how you like it. Mm-hmm. We want you to come in with no stress.
Sure.
Or as little as possible, because the unknown is intimidating. So picture being 85, 95, even older, trying to make that decision to leave your home, what you know, the unknown is intimidating. You know, all these things, we make it as easy as possible.
That's just such an amazing thing, because I know a lot of people, as they get to be my age, and people that have parents that are aging that are, trying to make that decision with them, or in some cases, unfortunately, for them. But it is so intimidating. It's like,
this is it.
This is like the rest of your life, you're gone. Now you've given them a little bit of a cushion, and if they don't like it for some whatever reason... obviously, it probably doesn't happen very often. But
on rare occasions. Right. Usually, they walk in the door, and I've served thousands now in all these years, and it's wonderful because I've got a very grateful clientele. Mm-hmm.
And word spreads.
Word does spread, but they're very grateful, this group of people, and so you see them come in, they're a little nervous, and then a couple of days later, they're way less nervous, and then by the time a week is out, they say, okay, where's my room? I want to pick my suite now, before they finish the month.
Right.
So, and that's what I like. I like that. And then they join in wine o'clock, they're going on the bus, they're doing activities. The entertainment is... all the time. Mm-hmm. Picture being 85. I mean, you've outlived a lot of people.
Sure.
You're limited to how many friends just because you've outlived your friends. And sometimes your ability, your physical ability, you can't do what you used to do.
Right.
So, like my grandmother who lived in Cranston, she was sitting home all the time waiting for somebody to call.
Yeah.
You know, it gets lonely.
Sure it does.
So, when you could join a community and have from soup to nuts, whatever you need. Like, when somebody comes in, like I just had a new resident yesterday, and I saw her, and I'm like, listen, do me a favor. If you need anything, ask anybody. They'll either do it right then and there, or they'll get the person who needs to do it.
They know who to contact.
We're keeping it simple. Ask anybody.
Yeah.
And the whole staff is all. I've got staff for 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a wonderful beginning story. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and find out a lot more about the Elms. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, having a very pleasant time sitting with the owner of the Elms, Guy Majorano. And Guy, we've talked about the history, how it all started, which was extremely interesting. And we started to get into a little bit about the actual day-to-day living within the facility. And there are several portions to the property. I want to make sure I get all that straight. Let's start with the Elms itself, which is a separate building from some of the others, right? As you mentioned, you went
next door,
across the street, and so forth.
Yeah, we basically have three buildings on campus. The Elms building is the original building that the front of it is on Elm Street. That is our independent and assisted living building. And the difference between those things is we have residents that come in. They're all, nationally, I think the national number average of people coming into assisted living or this type of building, independent living, is roughly 84, 85 years old.
Really?
They come into us at that age.
I'm a little bit surprising to me. It sounds older than I would have expected.
I've had people come to us at 99.
Wow.
Yeah, I think one of my oldest residents was 104. I believe it was Mrs. Rushlow, and she was sharp as a tack. I mean, she was legally blind, but do not play her in bridge.
Wow.
She was an amazing woman. I loved her a lot.
Right.
But at the Elms, so we have independent living. What is that? So you get a person who is 85 to whatever, but they walk, they talk, they throw a baseball,
sure.
They're having fun, they travel,
yeah.
They drive their own car. They're more independent. They might go to the YMCA and swim four times a week.
Yeah. My mother-in-law is in that exact same boat. She's 84 years old,
well,
still
there you
drives,
go.
Still, you know,
yep.
She's still active. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They like to do their own thing, but they more than like they've lost their husband or yeah. whatever. And they don't want the day-to-day loneliness
Absolutely.
Of a house.
Yeah.
And it gets very boring. So they come in on an independent, that's independent. They assisted living, it's the same client. They get the same suites. But they might need assistance with daily living. Who might need assistance with medication?
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure you know people with like 17 different pills these days.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a pill for everything.
Yeah.
To monitor that, sometimes they need nursing care. Sometimes they need CNA care, dressing, bathing. Sometimes it's very difficult just putting that sock on. So whatever care they need, they get it at the Elms.
Wow.
So we have nurses on staff. We have CNAs on staff.
So there are nurses and CNAs.
They
so
are.
It's not
there
just
are.
It's not just Johnny just graduated high school and needs a summer job.
No. There's a full staff, and all of that is done in the privacy of their own suite. So you could be living right next to Mary, let's say, and mm-hmm. you have no idea what type of service Mary's getting.
I see. And mm-hmm. when you say suite, that's normally a bedroom and a little sitting area?
Several shapes and sizes. Over the last, I'm going to say, 5 years, part of our new renovations, we were taking studio. What happened was there's a lot more couples that are interested in coming to the Elms. So we needed better space for them. So where we had side-by-side studios that lined up perfectly in a hallway, we made them into one-bedroom suites. So they're roughly 800 square feet, which is quite big in this
yeah.
industry, with a kitchen, with a walk-in closet, with a beautiful bathroom.
Wow.
So now we have plenty of couples that come to the Elms. They come and go as they please. Sometimes the husband might need assisted living services, and the wife does not, or vice versa.
Yeah.
They just love the fact that they go to the dining room and have, you know, from baked stuffed shrimp to you know, tenderloin to, you name it, Eggs Benedict. I can't even tell you the food that Mike's makes is amazing. So,
now, do you notice a difference when you over 30 years of being in the business? Do you notice a difference of the incoming age? Has that changed dramatically? As
it really hasn't.
No,
not that much.
Okay.
Because
people are living longer,
so
right.
they're staying with me longer.
Yeah, okay.
But I think that's
about the same time.
Yeah,
they
that's kind of interesting. I mean, it's often that we're in the office and we're saying, "Oh, this woman's coming in. She's 91 now." I mean, we have a lot of people that come in at 90, 91, sharp as a tack, ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You think of when I was a kid, you would think of retirement living as somebody who's 70-something. Well, now that I'm close to 70,
right,
it's changed.
Yeah, yeah. Now 70's young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of those changes we did on those units, we probably have out of 65 units in the Elms building, I bet you we've created 25 deluxe models that are all taken. And we have a lot of couples at the Elms.
Mm-hmm. Is there a waiting list or...
There is, depending on the unit that's available, there is a waiting list.
Yeah.
People want certain things. We've always done business in-house. Residents get the right of first refusal on some new unit they might want, but it's rare that people should switch.
Yeah.
Once they get comfortable in the Elms,
yeah.
It's not like we're selling waterfront properties with this beautiful marble bathroom. That's not us.
Right.
We're selling service.
Mm-hmm.
It's hands-on service, care, companionship. It's a lot to it.
You mentioned earlier that there's almost as many employees as residents.
Correct.
Now, to me, that just doesn't sound feasible. I mean, that's amazing. Is that normal within the industry?
I would say it's close.
Really?
I think we probably go a little heavy, especially in our memory care. I mean, I think our memory care unit, both the Carriage House and Chestnut Cottage, I bet you we're at 4.5, 5 to 1 resident to staff.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. See.
Because that end of the business, they need more care.
Yeah.
They need more hands-on. They need more attention and more directing, redirecting. And I think we do a wonderful job at it.
Sounds like it's probably 24 hours a day necessary.
Oh,
yeah.
Both buildings.
Yeah.
Sure. We have staff 24/7.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's both of those units are based on memory care situations.
Correct.
I don't want to say problems. But,
correct.
Correct. And does that change sometimes? You find that somebody has to go from what was a regular, you know, studio to move
to memory care?
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's actually why I built the memory care way back in the day. I was. Some of my residents that were just getting more forgetful were having to go to a nursing home because they weren't safe enough. I mean, if they go out the door at 2 a.m. in the winter, I mean, you know, they just weren't safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was losing residents, people I've grown to love, to nursing homes because they couldn't handle them at the time, and I didn't have a secure environment for them. So that's when we started doing memory care. Opened it, filled it. Had to go call Mick. I told you that story.
Yeah.
Mickey, I need your house.
Yeah.
Needed more units because there was a big demand. Unfortunately, a big demand.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it's actually good news.
You
have the ability to do that
it
and
is.
Service all those people.
Because it's the natural progression. The older you get, I mean, I think the number is like 50% of people 85 or older have some memory decline.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's wonderful that you're able to provide that service. Let's talk a little bit more about the ones that don't need that much service.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, I think, a chef. Did you say Mike? Is that the name
yep.
you gave me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. My whole kitchen staff is amazing. But not just them. I mean, it's Roger in maintenance, and it's Betty in the dining room, and, you know, my whole Wanda I have too many to mention. They're all fabulous. And even Denise and Nina, who are in housekeeping, that have been with me forever.
Yeah.
I've seen their children grow up. It's great.
What a wonderful testament to you as ownership to have all these people that stick with you. I mean, that's just amazing, you know, to have these people that don't come and go. They found something they like and they stick with it, both the residents and the employees. That's a great testimonial, if you will.
Mm.
You know, the food is always interesting because I know some older people that say, "Oh, the food, it's awful. It's like rubber," you know, or whatever. So
yeah, not at our place. I mean, we serve 3 meals a day, and they're second to none. You'd want to eat there every day, seriously. And the same food is delivered from our staff to our memory care residents. The same food. On
really?
Campus is cooked right from the Elms kitchen, and all homemade cookies and muffins and desserts and all homemade soups. By the way,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, we've been donating soup to the warm shelter for years and years and years once a week. Wow. We have a system, so we help them, which is nice. I'm very proud of that. When you drive in the back in the circle, I'm good at knowing what's, if I smell it, I know what it is. So I smell it. When he's doing some shrimp scampi or something, you know it is. It's all good.
But it sounds like very high end meals, and that's a nice thing. Now, some of the residents are able to fix themselves a snack in their little kitchenette or whatever, but if they want to go to the dining room, do they have a choice of going or not going? Or how does that work?
You mean like for lunchtime or breakfast?
Yeah.
Breakfast, they can come anytime they like. Breakfast is wide open. Some people wake early. Some people wake late, and it's never an issue. Most meals are split seating. In other words, their lunch is at 11:30 or 1, so okay. It's a nice, beautiful. It's not a bad wedding, so it's a reasonable amount of people, reasonable amount of staff that care for them and serve them. We just got done remodeling. We did a complete renovation on our dining room. And it came out absolutely beautiful. We didn't have to move a wall. It was, but it just came out stunning. From stenciled, hand painted walls to the furniture to really, really nice. And that was completed. And I'm going to say 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So if anybody wants to take a peek, come and see it. The other thing we just got done with, I'm going to say it's close to 8 months ago now, is our great room, which was completely remodeled, new fireplace, new kitchen, because we have a great room that people can, there's all kinds of activities in the great room, but people can actually reserve it for themselves, for their family. Like, let's say your mother and father live there and they want to celebrate a birthday. Could we reserve the great room?
Sure, yeah.
Either we'll take care of the food for you, you could bring the food yourself. It's absolutely a stunning room. I love it a lot.
Wow, that sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And I think you touched on something right there. People that might be like myself that have an aging mother-in-law or relative, they can call you up, make an appointment to see the property, see these things firsthand, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And just so people have this information handy, you have a website, right?
Yep.
And that is?
ElmsAssistedLiving.com.
ElmsAssistedLiving.com.
Go right there.
Yeah.
Feel free to walk in any day. Our doors are always open. We get walk-ins.
So you don't even need an appointment necessarily.
You don't really need one. Okay. If you're in town and you want to come and see the Elms, just walk in the door. We'll show you.
I might walk in and see if I can sneak into the dining room.
Yeah, no, no worries with that. No worries.
And is there a phone number to call where people can do it the old-fashioned way?
Yeah, 596-4630.
All right.
Is the Elms phone number.
All right, excellent. And Guy, I can't thank you enough for coming in and talking about all these wonderful amenities that you have at the Elms. And the location, street address?
It is 22 Elm Street and in Westerly, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think I'm 5 doors down from Wilcox Park.
And just to clarify, there is nothing saying you have to be a Rhode Island resident or anything else.
No,
anybody
no,
can
no.
come from anywhere, right?
Any place.
So all you listeners out on Long Island that want to get into the good life, just take a boat and come on over to Westerly.
Yeah, Long Island, Block Island, they're my customers.
There you go.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Guy. It's great. And we'll look forward to maybe having you again as a guest on Company Break and giving us a little update.
Thank you, Mike.
The rest of you, we'll see you next time on Company Break.